So if you're here for the first time, we are in Matthew 23, which is now, it's a difficult message to bring across because you want to page over these type of chapters. You know, a lot of preachers will preach topically and they'll go find a topic and preach on that because it's kind of easy, or they'll go to their favorite stuff. So this is not one of them. Okay, this passage in the 23rd chapter of Matthew is not one that will just, ooh, I'm going to be so excited about the word of the Lord. It's not. It's a rebuke. So the title of the message is Uncomfortable Truths. Okay, Uncomfortable Truths. So I want you to see the backdrop of this in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to a multitude, okay, first group of people, multitudes, and to his disciples, the other group of people, and he is talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's the other group of people. So we've got three groups of people that we need to see. And you and I need to decide in which one of these groups do I fall in. Okay? The multitudes are fans of Jesus. Yay, Jesus. Woo, Jesus is so cool. Put it on my Facebook. Make it my status. Even buy a shirt. You know? But they are not followers of Jesus. They are fans of Jesus. Jesus is a cool dude. Jesus is the best thing ever. But they don't follow him. The disciples are disciplined followers of Jesus. Okay? Disciplined students of Jesus' teachings. So they hear and they apply. Remember that part where he says, if you want to build your house on the rock, you hear and you do. A fool hears and doesn't do. He is like a guy building on the sand. Now, a disciple is one that hears and does the words and the teachings of Jesus. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the third group, is people that walk in a spirit of know-it-all. They walk in that spirit. They walk in an arrogance. And I'm going to show you from this. So you and I have to make decisions where we are seated. So you'll see the numbers on the board that we've got up there. We're trusting the Lord for 1,000 souls this year. 1,000 people to react on the Word of God to make Jesus their Lord. That's what we're trusting the Lord for. Okay, and we're looking at 5 methods of doing it. Number 1, one-on-one, bring people to church. One-on-one evangelism. Sit with your buddy, your friend at school, your colleague. Tell them about Jesus. If you don't know how to do it, come on Wednesday nights. If you don't feel comfortable, just bring them to church. Okay? There's this guy there that's not scared to do it. You know, he just goes there every time. You know. The other one is we had the play. Okay? We had the play. If those of you don't know, we had Hell's Gates, the play, and we got some fruit on that. We had 22 people surrender their lives to the Lord. Okay, that's fantastic. I think that's great. Then we're going to do the puppet show. All right. So I'm busy translating it from Afrikaans to English. Because the majority of our community is English. You know, so we're aiming at that. And then we're going to do the casting. We're going to say, who wants to be part? Go read the play. Who do you see yourself? It's not a long play. Who do you see yourself? And then we're going to make those puppets. You're going to make that puppet yourself, okay, as you see the character, all right? And then we're going to try and get it all together and sounds and lights and everything, and we're going to do a proper thing. Then we're planning an outreach to a Louisiana side with the Jesus movie. But we're not going to do that just now with the election, okay? Let's heat it, in case you didn't know. The other day, the EFF pitched in Margate at the Turning Tides, where they reach out every Saturday night worship evening, and they wanted the microphone. The EFF, they said, we're going to speak to all your people now. And they were adamant, is the right word. And the guy that's in charge said, from them and here, this is not a political platform. Dit gaan nie so werk nie, né? Stula. Okay. And then the last one we'll have is Lights in the Forest at the end of the year. Who's excited about Lights in the Forest? Okay, everybody's excited about it. Oh, no, you're very excited. And we're going to need a little bit of a bigger team because the team last year got very, very exhausted. So we're going to need a lot of people to help with that. Okay, so this is, we are there. So because we were trying to follow, so you decide, how do I become a disciple? The first way is you have to become born again. So on the 9th of June, we've got our new membership class, new members to the church. So I spoke to Henry, my first pastor, his name is Henry Nell. I went to see him when I was in Pretoria. I said, how does your new membership class work? He says, very easy. We start with scripture. I say, I know, but what do you mean? He says, the Holy Spirit added to the church. You've got to be saved to become a member of the church. And I'm like, yes, that's so evident. That's so obvious. You can't be a member of God's church if you are not saved. Now, whether it's this expression or the other expression, Timbuktu, there's no gain for a person to have their name on a list and a membership card. I'm a member of said church, but they are not saved. What's the use of that card then? What's the use of that membership? You're just going to sit and go to hell. Frankly. You know, if I stepped on your toes, please forgive me. Call me Spanner, size 13. Ek trap op hom. Vat hom uit die pad uit. Let's take it out of the way. The thing is, you have to be born again. To become part of the church. Doesn't make sense. So on the 9th of June, we're going to have a new membership class. Again, we're going to ask one another, are you born again? Are you saved? Are you sure? What scripture are you standing on? Or is it just, it's not a feeling, by the way, because I don't feel saved every day. Who knows what I'm talking about? I don't feel saved every day. It's not a feeling. Oh, I feel so saved. No. Okay. And then we're going to talk about expectations. What are your expectations from us as a church, from the main peanut and the pocky? You know, I've just got more salt than the rest, you know, to easier to spit out. And what are my expectations of you? What's the church expectations from? That's we're going to do on the 9th of June. So please, if you want to come to new membership and it's interested in becoming part of this expression, you're more than welcome. So the disciples. So all of that's just a bit of intro. Which group are you in? Are you in the multitudes? Are you the disciples? Or are you part of the scribes and Pharisees? Now listen to what verse 2 says. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now my Bible, this is red letters. This means Jesus is speaking. Okay, if you've got a red letter Bible, who's got a red letter Bible? Get yourself a red letter Bible. It makes it fun because then you know who's speaking. If it's all black, you kind of miss it. But when the red letters pop out, you know, hey, sit up straight. Take notice. Jesus is speaking. Okay, he says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees have got authority. They have the law. Okay, they sit in that. Listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. So the first thing you need to understand is Jesus is not saying throw the law away. He's not saying, so we're not going to become legalistic. Okay, we're not going to become legalistic. But he's saying, I have fulfilled the law. I don't want you to walk in rebellion. He's talking to whom? The multitudes and his disciples about this Pharisees and the Sadducees. You decide in what group. Are you the multitude, the fans of Jesus? Oh yeah, that's nice, I hear you. Or are you a disciple? I'm going to listen to what you say, sir, and I'm going to do. He says, I don't want you to walk in rebellion. Listen to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but don't be like them. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Because, listen to what he says. For they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. but all their works they do to be seen by men. So they are being hypocritical. They will have these long prayers. Okay, so I want you to know that you don't have to pray in Christianese for the Lord to hear you. Okay? You don't have to start off with, Almighty God in heaven, thou art be blessed for blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And now suddenly you're all spiritual. You can just speak to your Heavenly Father if He is then your Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? If He is your Heavenly Father, just speak to Him like He's your Heavenly Father. My son, they don't have to come with huge, say, dear Father, may I approach your throne? Can I make an appointment to see thee to discuss the following? I'm going to tell you, what's wrong with you? What you've been smoking? You know? It's rechtig. You must come. I'm going to lay hands on you and drive that thing out. No. They just come. Nothing makes me more happy when my son just starts talking to me. Daddy this, and he's talking about his interests. And, you know, what is going on and the stuff that he's discovered. And I like that. I enjoy it. Sometimes I don't know what it's got to do with the price of eggs, but I do. The same when we go to the Lord. Just speak to your Father. If He is then your Father. So we don't come with arrogance. We come in the name of Jesus. Hebrews says He's made a new and living way for us to come to Him. We can just come to Him. Just come to Him. As a young guy that wrote a book, Coffee with Jesus. A young guy, he was 16 years old. And he started developing this habit of making two cups of coffee. Go to his bedroom, put the one down, sit in a chair and have his coffee and speak to his Father in heaven. Another one would get cold, but it was for him to see that. And the Lord started taking him from strength to strength. Eventually wrote a book, Beautiful Relationship with the Lord. You see, Jesus says, don't be hypocrites. You know, a lot of people, let me not go there. They make placketries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. So these placketries were little boxes that they would literally bind to their foreheads or to their arms. So now they're making them bigger ones. My placketry is bigger than yours. Ne? Bah. Eventually they're walking with like Jack Sparrow, bro. You know? And he's got this thing on here. It looks like he took too much steroids and it's, you know. Why is he doing that? Can I translate that for you? Walking around quoting scripture. I know the Bible. Throwing, scripture after scripture. Even have a big tattoo of a cross on their back. You know, and over my arms, you know, armor. Yet their lives are not talking about that. They're doing that to be impressed. And they raise the hems because it's supposed to be authority. So I'm going to just make it bigger because I've got more authority. And they put these titles in front of their names, placketries, because now suddenly I'm a prophet. But you know that the Bible doesn't have titles. It's got functions. You function as a pastor. You function as a prophet. You function as a teacher. It's not a title. If you want to put a title in front of your name, you can take John 1 from 12 to 14 and write in front of your name, child of God, Kuas. Okay? Because it says gives you the right to be called child of God. Now, I don't know if that will go down well on a business card or the bottom of your letter, né? As the chief financial officer, right at the bottom, child of God, Kuas. You know, actually, you see, because to God, titles are not important. Doesn't make sense. Or you could write in front, saint, because the Bible calls us saints. All the letters are written to the saints. So you can write in front there, Saint Curtis. It's got a nice ring to it. Huh? Saint Curtis. Just sign it like that. It was like, Saint Curtis. I am. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, you've got to qualify to be a saint by having a verified miracle. All right? If you are born again, you're a verified miracle. Amen? That's the biggest miracle I have, been born again. So, don't put these placards. So what is Jesus saying? He's speaking to the multitude and he's speaking to his disciples. He's saying to the multitude, and they're saying, yay, Jesus, very good. The disciples take note and say, okay, we are just going to be quiz of Curtis, Meneer Curtis. All right. They're just going to be that. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. So, who's been to Loftus? Let's just see who's been to Loftus before. We've got a couple of Loftus oaks. And Bloemfontein is called what? Boetie Erasmus, ne? I think it's the Boetie Erasmus Stadium. And Kingsmead, who's been to Kingsmead? Ellis Park, a couple of Ellis Park guys here. Newlands. All right. Is it Kings Park, eh? And Kings Park. And you sit there and you look up to the people in the boxes. You sit, look at the people in the boxes and they're just having so much fun. You know, they got access to snacks and biltong. You know, people say, and they let you know, you know, I was in the boxes weekend at Ellis Park. You know, why? Because now I'm something. You know, praying for a box or being invited to a box. You're now something. You're the bee's knees. Right? This is what these guys are. They wanted to be up there. They wanted to be put in this position that people might look up to them and think, oh, I want to be like them. I want to be so fancy, dandy, up here in my box. And they must call me Rabbi, Rabbi. So the word Rabbi is translated different. It's two words that get translated interchangeably. One to master and the other one to teacher. So it'll say teacher, master, master, teacher, Rabbi, Rabbi, or master, Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi. It gets translated. You can go look on the Strong's Concordance. So they want to be called teacher, like they've got some knowledge. Okay. In today's language, life coach. I'm a life coach. Oh, I'm a life coach, you know. Come to my life coaching. I've got a little program worked out for you. Yes. Yeah. What do you do? I'm a life coach. Have you seen them? No, sorry. Are there any life coaches in here? Just forgive me, please. Well, okay. I'm enjoying that. I stepped in it again, listen. I'll keep on doing that, don't I? Like huh? Just change feet. I'm gonna become like a you know where the moonwalk came from? Egyptians, you know that? Walk like an Egyptian. That's when they stepped in it. Okay. But you decide, are you going to be a multitude or a disciple? But you do not be called Rabbi. Don't esteem to be called something. For one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Now, the warped interpretation of this is, I don't need a teacher. I've got the Holy Spirit to teach me. That's the warped thing. What Jesus is saying here is, don't go around calling that one is my rabbi. Mkulukulu. You've heard this, my meester. You've heard people speak like that. That's what he's saying. He's like, stop doing that. You all are brethren. How can, and that doesn't mean that you mustn't have somebody that disciples you. The holistic approach, okay, is go out and teach the nations what I have taught you. So we get taught and then we pass it on. Okay. Appyship. Anyone done an apprentice before? Okay. Don't be shy. Put it up. These men, I respect blue collar guys, but I can't do it. It's just blood all over the show. Are you guys comfortable? Must we switch on another aircon? You're all comfortable? Fantastic. So, Jesus saying, you are my apprentice. I teach you in my workshop how to do it, disciple. Then you go up and you apprentice somebody else. You mentor somebody else. But they don't need to call you teacher. My foreman. Have you seen how these guys get? Have you seen it? You guys that have done your apprenticeship, die foreman. I'm telling you, and he'll talk to you in any way he wants to. You are his skivvy, you are his appy. He says, no, don't do that. We're all equal. But what I want you to know is you cannot hear from God whom you can't see. You cannot submit to God whom you can't see. You cannot be taught by God whom you can't see if you cannot submit to man whom you can see. If you cannot learn from man whom you can see. Does that make sense? That does not mean that you can't hear from the Lord and He teach you. The evidence of the teachability is, am I open to somebody to teach me? Am I open to that? Am I open to come to a discipleship program and say, show me what the Word says? Now the Lord is going to teach you and He's going to speak to you on your own as well. But if I'm closed, and this is what people do, I don't need a teacher, I've got the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? I'm closed to be taught. I will follow the way I think. Can't do that. Then you are not a disciple. Because what is a disciple? It's a disciplined student. You have to be teachable to be a disciplined student. Good. So just don't call Rabbi Rabbi. Don't go back. And don't esteem to be that. Don't aim for that. Just be one of the brethren. Do not call anyone earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. So, I'm talking body language. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Hello, my child, bless you. Dear Hail Marys, five Our Fathers. Don't go down that avenue. Don't call somebody Father. You've got a Father in heaven. But what he's also saying is that you get people that become in this place, oh, I am a spiritual father. Where are the sons and daughters that look after the fathers? I've heard preachers talk like that. I am a spiritual father. Guess what? You and I are not born again by flesh. We are born again by the Holy Spirit. All right? I cannot be your spiritual father. Do you understand that? You are brought forth by the incorruptible seed of the Word, by saved by the grace of God, by grace alone, Jesus alone, faith alone, not by the will of man. No. If you have ever experienced the work of the Holy Spirit, it is not because there's an anointing on a man. It's because God Himself wants you and died for you. All the credit belongs to Him, not to anybody else. So when the numbers go up there, the credit belongs to the Lord because we can't do it. I can't save you. Church can't save you. An outreach can't save you. Jesus saves. Okay, and He calls and He draws, and His will is that all men be saved, not some. It's important that you get this. Okay, all men, it's the will of God that all men be saved, that none should perish. For God so loved the world, not some in the world, everybody. God so loved the world that whosoever calls on His name will be saved. Whosoever. All right, there are theologians telling you God didn't die for the whole world. Some were selected and elected to be saved and others to go to hell. The minute you do that, you ascribe evil to God. Can't do it. I can never, ever agree with that. Predestination, Romans 9, talks about works, not salvation. The will of God is that all men be saved. Amen. All men be saved. If you would respond to His love, He will save you. If you would call on His name, He will save you. He loves you. He does. Just call on Him. Okay, so don't call people Father. Call Him your Father. And we learned last, three weeks ago, Abba Father. So it's not, dear Father, like the English, dear Father. It is Daddy, Daddy. Yes, yes. You know, a proper English. You can watch the movies, Collar Time, with your dinner jacket, you know. How do you do? How do you do? Yes, Father. Yes. You know, if my son talks to me like that, I'm going to say, you change your language, son. It's from now on, my Lord. I told my wife that because Sarah told Abraham, my Lord. So I said, from now on, you address me as my Lord. I slept on the couch at night. All right. But he who is greatest amongst you shall be your servant. Here's the thing. All of these things that they've done or want to be is to be great, is to have esteem in the look in people's eyes. But Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom? Serve. Serve. Find a place to serve. Find a place to serve. Here's the thing. You get a gardener in, and every day you come there on your lunch break, the moth is parking under the chair, done nothing, under the cloud. Ach, where am I now? Under the crowd, under the chair. Blah, 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 blah. Under the tree, on his chair, in the shade. Done nothing. So why haven't you done it? Now I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do. What are you going to do? Why? Because he's an unprofitable servant. If I must now even think for you what to do, you're unprofitable. You know, if the lawn needs mowing, what do? You go get the lawnmower and you do the best you can. You don't leave islands, ne? Mow it properly now. All right. Just mow it and don't stick it in. I'm just going to do that. No, this must have what you do. You just go, just one. In the middle of the lawn, there's like, what's that? I don't know. Missed it. You mow it properly. So how it works in our congregation is we can't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry walk in and just do whatever they want to because we don't know them. So number one, we value people for who they are more than what they can do. Become part of the family. We want to get to know you. We really want to get to know you. More important, you need to get to know me because you're not going to like me, okay? You got to get to know me. I'm not the likable person. I grow on you like moss. That's how my best friend introduced it. This Wilco, he'll grow on you. Thank you. On the shady side, hey? So we get to know one another. Come to church. Come to training. Why? Because it's not going to work very nice. We are a church that believes in free will baptism. You choose to get baptized. And now you're pushing an agenda of baby baptism. Okay? Boom. We're going to have a clash. Doesn't make sense. And we're going to show you the scriptures from free will baptism. We're going to show you the scriptures. I'm still waiting for scriptures on baby baptism. I'm still waiting. If you can show it to me and prove it to me, then we can talk. But I'm still waiting. All right? So we have training so that we talk from the same mouth. So we get to know each other. We've got some chemistry and we understand who we are. And then you say, but I want to start this. You're more than welcome to start it. Just tell me, did the Lord tell you to do that? Or do you think it's a good idea? If it's a good idea, I don't think you should do it. If the Lord told you to do it, He'll probably give you scripture that you must do this. And He'll help you lay out a plan because God is not into starting stuff and stopping. You know, a lot of people tell me, the Lord told me to do this. And then 3 months down the line, no, the Lord said, I'm done. God changed his mind. He doesn't change his mind. I am the Lord. I do not change. He is the same. So if he commissions you and gives you, and he gives you something, listen. Alec, listen. God does not change his mind. Doesn't matter what the circumstances do. Because circumstances will change. People change. Those that are for you today, they worship Jesus on Palm Sunday. Thursday, they're crucifying him. Same people. People change. They like you this week, and next week they don't. They praise you this week, and the week thereafter, they criticize you. So there's a king. He had a rather big kingdom, and his neighbor, there was a neighboring king, and they were living in harmony, these two kings. And this king passed away, but his kingdom was smaller than the bigger kingdom, and his son came into power. And the son got himself some new counselors. And he said, what must I do as king? He says, you need to take on that king and show him that you are a force to be reckoned with. So as they attacked, and the big king said, all I want you to do is capture this Mart for me. Just capture him, bring him to me, we're going to have a chat. So they capture him, they nullify his army, and the king says to him, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a cup of water, full of water, and you're going to walk down the main road of my kingdom. If you get to the end of this road and you do not spill water, I'll let you live. And if you don't, I'm going to behead you. So he set him up and he tell his own people on the left-hand side, I want you to cheer him. Everybody on the left, you just cheer him. And everybody on the right, you just boo him. So he got all his people lined up, and this king walked. He came to the end, and he didn't miss a drop of water. So the big king said to him, could you hear the people on your left? He says, no. Could you hear the people on your right? He says, no. He said, why not? He says, I was concentrating what I must do. He says, now go and rule your kingdom like that. Don't listen to this, and don't listen to that. You focus on what God has called you to do. You focus on that, because you'll have the criticizers, and you'll have the ones that praise you. You'll have the fans today, and tomorrow they cancel. Okay, don't listen. You do what God tells you to do. You keep your eye on the water. So that's how we want to work here. You see, it fits in with our vision. Can a nation turn back to God? Can the South Coast turn back to God? Okay, your answer will determine your involvement. I believe the South Coast can do something. We can change this place. We can reach the lost. We can impact our community. I am going to... ... You see, then you hear from the Lord, and you are then accountable to Him and not to me. My job is not to have you be accountable to me. My job is to have you be accountable to the Lord. What are you doing with your resources? What are you doing with your time, your gifts, and your talents? What are you doing with that? Did you hear from the Lord? God has gifted you. Some of you can work with your hands. I'm not one of them. Okay? Some of you can teach people and very clever. The only thing I can do is stand in front of you. So some of you can work with teenagers. I can't. I will kill them. I'll absolutely crucify them upside down. I love them to bits. I do. But the third time he chirps me, excuse. No, that's just, I don't know. My dad taught me that way. You know, like maybe I must grow up and change and all that. But when you chirp back, you are ordering a backhand. Sorry. I just you watch my Facebook profile, I put a thing on there on hiding. Okay? It's 45 minutes of pure laughter. It's dry bars. So there's no swearing. You can really enjoy. The guy's very, very good. Okay. You see, He wants to be so served. So that's how you can get plugged in and start serving in this congregation, this expression. Come to training, become part of the church, get to know us, we get to know you, we find where we are chemistry-wise, and we become friends. Okay? That does not mean we're not going to disagree. My best friend in this church is old Rustin. Okay? He's my best friend in this church. We've been friends for 8 years now. We've had disagreements. We've had to have serious adult conversations, uncomfortable adult conversations. I've seen his angry face. Now, he's got an angry face. This man's got an angry face. My word, it intimidates. And he says, I'm intimidating. The only way I intimidate him is when I put on a bean and I grow a goatee. But he's seen my angry face. He's very calm when he's angry. I'm a little bit more volatile when I've got impulse control issues. You know, but Rustin never raises his voice. Because it was such a treat to hear him scream in the play. He had to go home and practice it. Oh, the missus made him angry. That's where you got to scream, woman! No, you cannot get it. I'm just joking. Okay. So that's how you can get involved and we can gel. And there's a maturity that's needed when you serve. You see, there's a maturity needed when you serve. If you walk around with a platter, I don't know who's done waitering before in their life, waitering. Okay, many, many hours of waitering. And you get to the guy and you serve him. Well, I didn't order my steak like that. So what do? Fretty dung, man. No, you go back to the kitchen, you come back and he's like, yeah, but that egg is now too hard. You can't roll your eyes. You've got to like have a maturity about him. Right, sir. I'll make sure. Go to the kitchen. Where's the salt? Go back. Yeah, he goes, yes, it's nice. It's nice. That's too salty. Oh, sorry, sir. See, you can't be oversensitive when you serve. You can't be. You've got to be able to have a bit of a thick skin. Now, years ago, I'm sitting with my granny. Guys, I'm enjoying this. Are you enjoying this? All right, fantastic. I'm sitting with my granny. I'm speaking. She says, Wilco, you got to get a thicker skin. You got to be like a duck. The water's got to run off your back. And I said, but how do I do that? You see, then I was a banana person, a rotten banana person. Can I explain to you a rotten banana person? And who's ever seen a black rotten banana in the fridge? It's normally in the glass door. Nah, that glass. How do you take that thing? How do you take it out? Huh? You use a glove or plastic bag. No one wants to touch that thing. It's just like gooey. It's like, you take it and you put it in the dustbin. You see, sometimes we can be so hurt. We can be so hurt. We become rotten banana people. And nowhere can somebody touch you and you're going to have a reaction. See, that was me. My granny said, you need to get a Lord, how do I do that? Well, you come to training. You come and allow the Lord to minister to you. You allow the Lord to heal you. And you will see how your rotten banana syndrome starts disappearing. It starts disappearing. So somebody steps on your toes, it doesn't cause you to slit your wrists, you know. It doesn't cause that. There's a maturity that comes when we serve. There's also a sharpening. Now, if steel had to have feelings, and you had to take one piece of steel and you put it down, the sparks fly. Do you think the steel says, oh, I love getting sharpened. Oh, just sharpen me a little bit more. No, it'll hurt. Sharpening hurts. It's not comfortable, but you've got to stay in it to have the fruit of it. You've got to stay in it to have the fruit. You've got to stay in it to see it work out in your life. You've got to remain there. difficult as it is. Yes, you can withdraw, but you must come back until it's done. You see, here's what the Lord says. I won't stop the work that I started in you. I won't. I am being sharpened every day of my life. Every week, I've got to deal with something that is sharpening me. Yes, sometimes one withdraws to your room and then you come back and you get sharpened again. And you get sharpened again. And it just keeps on going. The chairs you're sitting on is a prime example. Because I almost assaulted a person. I wanted to. But we didn't go there. I'm driving home and I'm crying. And I say, Lord, why does everything have to be a battle? Or did you just make me to fight? Well, if you made me that way, then I'll just stay in the fight, Lord. I'll stay in it. As long as it's for your kingdom. Okay. So whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Give me 5 more minutes. Can I have 5 more minutes? Is everybody happy with that? You're still awake? 5 more minutes? Comfortable? Fantastic. You see, Jesus is speaking to 3 groups of people. The multitude, the fans of Jesus, the disciples, those that listen and do, and he's talking about, and to the Pharisees, and they said, the know-it-alls, the people that I have got training, I have been walking, I am elevated, I am not a common fisherman, I am not just a churchgoer. So he's talking to the pastors of the day. Now, here's the thing. When we start thinking like that, we walk in the spirit of a Pharisee and a Sadducee. We start walking in that spirit. And that causes a couple of things. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. The first thing that these people do, hypocrisy does, it says, I don't want to know your Jesus. Why must I go to church? It's full of hypocrites. My answer to that is, it's fantastic. We've got place for one more. Come be here, because we're all putting up a little bit of a facade, you know, all of us. We want to really blink, put the good foot in front. We want to do that. That's all of us. It's a normal thing. We want people to think a little bit better. But these people go too far, and they walk in this arrogance. And they put burdens on people that cause people to turn away from God and say, I don't want, if that's your God, I don't want him. Okay? For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. You're standing in the way. Can you see what the spirit of a Pharisee does? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive a greater condemnation. For pretense. You see, when you pray, who do you speak to? Who are you speaking to when you pray? Okay. So if I am so concerned about what you think while I am praying, who am I praying to? To you. Rather than just, Father, thank you so much. Just speak normal English. You don't have to go into King James English. Or Wags Hollands Afrikaans. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. You can just say, Father, thank you for this food. Don't pray, make me thankful. How do you make somebody thankful for food? You take it away. After a week, they're truly thankful. Once you start being proper hungry, it's like, no, I'm enjoying this. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel the land and sea to win one apostolate, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Apostolate is somebody that you converted. They converted it to Judaism. That's where they got the word apostolate. So they travel the land and see. They go all over preaching the gospel, trying to get people saved. The minute they save, they put law on them. Put law on them. You see, here's what we say from Jesus did not throw the law away. Okay, he fulfilled the law. You see, the law in the Old Testament was external pressure. You must, you must, you must, you must, you must. We are now in the new covenant. He says, this is the new covenant. These people are the new covenant people. Okay? Those people, they are the law people. The new covenant people, he says, I will write my law on your heart and you will have an internal conviction. I don't want to. I would rather please you. It's something I want to do. These guys here, they get told what to do. You must, you must, you must. What happens when people tell you what you must do? What happens? All of us do exactly the same thing. Don't you, me. My bra. Over here, I want to. I love Jesus because he saved me. I don't want to offend him. I want to be obedient to him. I want to love his body. I want to be obedient. I don't want to do this or that. I don't want to rob you from your money. I don't want to do that. Woe to you. They travel and then they put the law on them. One convert. It's no use we do that. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears, okay, this is the part I want you to take home. All of this has been teaching, okay? All of this has been teaching. Here's something I want to impart to you. This is the impartation part. This is the stuff where you say, this is what I want to hear, okay? Not just pleasing your ears. This is what God says. Listen to. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold on the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Let me just finish reading and then I'm going to go there, okay? Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift on the altar or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he swears by the altar, swears by it, and by all the things on it. He swears by the temple, swears by it, and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven, swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You do all these things, you tithe, and you do this and do this, but you forgot the weightier things. You can read there. Okay. First of all, the Lord says, don't swear. Don't make a vow by anything on the earth or in heaven. Don't do it. It will bring you under obligation. It will make you a slave, and God has came to set us free. So don't do that. It is a foolish thing. Okay? Don't sign for somebody. It's a foolish thing. Don't swear. But if you're going to swear now, and he's saying now, listen. Where's the temple of God? You are. Hear what the Lord is saying. So if you swear by the gold, the adornment of the temple, it doesn't beautify the temple. Are you following? The altar that you want to swear by, you got nothing to do with that. The sacrifice, you got nothing to do with that. You can't swear by that. The throne of heaven, you don't sit in that. The Father sits in that. You are the temple. And he lives in you. He gives you value. Are you following? So you don't need to swear about this. This one's profitable. That one's profitable. This is good. This is bad. No, 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 no. Leave all of that. Because all the gold in the world doesn't add value to you. Your bank account can be six zeros. It doesn't add value to you. You can live in the biggest, best house. It doesn't add value to you. None of this adds value to you. Your value is determined by the one that purchased you. And he paid with his life. The most expensive life in the world. That says your value, the temple, is not adorned with gold, but with blood. The God of the universe resides inside of you. That's your value. So let's go there. Every head bowed, every set of eyes closed. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you have never been saved. We've talked about it. You might have been a fan of Jesus. You might have walked. You might know the Bible better than I do, or everybody combined here. But you know that you know that you are not saved. You know that you know that inside of you there's an emptiness, and you've tried to put everything and anything in there, but it doesn't fit. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to be born again. Not by fancy words, not by elegant speech, but by the Holy Spirit. Because He says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Most High? He wants to live inside of you. He wants to reside inside of you. He wants to adore you from the inside out with His glory. Would you please, or every eye closed, every head bow, would you pray with me? And in this church, we pray together. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I choose today with my own free will to hear your voice, to hear the knock on my heart, to open my heart and receive you into my life as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Redeemer, and as my Heavenly Father. Your word says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, I call on you now. Please save me. Thank you for saving me right now and writing my name in your book of life. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bow, every set of eyes closed. I'm going to ask you, if you've prayed that for the first time, would you please look at me? We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to ask you to get up. Just look at me. Thank you. Just look at me. Thank you. Just look at me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. If I haven't made eye contact with you and you're looking at me, just wait until I see your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the work that you've done this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the souls that you've touched. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and reveal yourself to each one this week, especially those that have committed their lives to you for the first time today. Lord, that you would touch them, that you would draw them near, that you would set them free. Father, and I experience, please listen, I'm experiencing the Lord's saying, I am quieting the voices of accusation in your mind. Somebody is suffering with voices, just accusatory voices. You're not good enough. You remember what you've done here. Remember what you've done there. The Lord says, I'm quieting those voices. I'm removing it from you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Lord says, I'm bringing peace. There's a peace that's coming on you. There's a peace. Somebody's really, really needing some peace this morning. I'm bringing a peace on you. I'm bringing you into my rest, says the Lord. This constant arguing in the inside of you. The Lord's saying, I'm taking that away. I'm taking it away. I'm bringing a calm to you. The Lord's showing me a picture of the ocean on a very calm day where the wind's not blowing and there's no waves. It's just like a mirror. God says, I'm bringing that into your life. You're going to go to bed and your mind is not going to be racing around. You're going to be in conversation And you can actually focus on the conversation. Been struggling with that, just to focus on conversation because your mind is running to and fro on different things. And you're struggling actually to focus your mind on what you need to do. Lord says, I'm bringing a calm to that. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture on that, the Lord is just bringing to me for that person with the calm, is when they were on the boat and Jesus said, be still. He wasn't speaking to the storm. He was speaking to the spirit of the people. Go read that context. Afterwards, he rebuked the storm. All right. Won't you stand with me? I want to bless you and then we're going to have some coffee. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Sorry I went a little bit long. I hope it's okay with you guys. You're not too mad.